What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover. It's here.
It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
I am innocent, I insist!
Ah! Ian Hunter.
I can't even smell my own hand.
Mickey.
I am worth a penny.
And Lazy E.
Back in my day, the only element was the element of surprise.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go! Oh, and what a mistake you've made today listening to this podcast. Welcome to A Freak Accident. I am your host. My name is Crisco. Of course, I am joined here with the team, the winning team, the only team that matters in the world, starting with my brother here, Lazy E. What's up, man?
I have to test out a new joke I found.
Oh, no. I'm not anticipating that. Hey, by the way, less than an hour from now, Lazy E is going to be the victim of some serious punishment. We're going to get into that.
You know what's funny? I got to leave early.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Yeah. I locked us in. I hope there's not a fire. I've also got Ian Hunter here. Welcome back, Ian.
Why, thank you for not kicking me off the show.
Yeah, you didn't.
Did you get my joke there? Kicking off the show, kicking the field goal. Blair Walsh.
Oh, see, he went for harmful. I'm not like you more and more as
Doors
the weeks
locked,
go
you can't
on.
Kick me out.
I could throw you through the window. And Mickey is here. Hi, Mickey.
Help me.
Can you hear through that hat that you have?
I can, actually. I was a little concerned for a few minutes, but I can hear.
You look ridiculously cold.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm skinny and I'm cold.
She's got one
Wait,
of those...
Whoa! So we're not cold because we're fat?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Hey, listen, I've eaten a lot in recent years, okay? I'm willing to admit that I've put on a couple. But yeah, she's got one of these hats with the ear flaps and the headphones on over the ear flaps. So maybe that's her plan. She doesn't want to hear us. So this is just all a plot to be able to block it out, right?
It would be nice.
Yeah.
So you talk about the flaps on this hat, but you fail to mention the friggin' eyeballs on it.
It's got a face on it.
And the antennas.
Yeah, oh yeah, and the antennas. Sorry, yeah.
Unless my headphones are blocking them, I'm not sure. Oh, they are.
No, they're
not. There they are.
Is this a character from something?
I have no idea.
It's very you, though.
What is it like to be five?
It's fantastic.
Oh, come on. You and I wear things just as ridiculous, if not more ridiculous.
Not today.
I went outside with my shredder glasses the other week. I didn't tell you about that.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Because why not?
Sure, I'll do it, too.
The looks I got were great. I just gave everybody thumbs up. Like, yeah. Yeah, dopey jelly.
Oh, there goes the
Please tell me you actually said that.
By the way, the website is afreakaccident.com. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on TuneIn. We are on anywhere you can download podcasts. In fact, Google Play is going to offer podcasts very soon as well, and you'll be able to find us there once that launches. So we're all over the place. And also, when you go to the website, you're going to want to click on the Connect tab at the top on the menu bar. That will take you to the links to all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere you can find the podcast. We invite you to come. You know, like us, follow us, interact. We love hearing from our listeners. Tell us what you think of the show. Also, feel free to send us an email about absolutely anything. If there's something we say that you have commentary on, if there's a segment you want to, you know, revisit, if there's something you like, something you didn't like, you can send us an email to freaks@afreakaccident.com. We'd love to hear from you. So find us, look for us. We'll be looking out for you, and we can't wait to hear from you. So we got a great show today. It's jam-packed with stuff. I mean, we actually had to decide what things we weren't going to talk about coming into this recording. I mean, one of them, which we're not going to get to, but I'll mention it really quickly, David Bowie, dead. It's very unfortunate, but it happened. And
you're a little too happy about that.
No, I'm sad. We're sad. It's a sad thing. I loved David Bowie. You did too, Mickey. Right?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, but I mean, we're not going to be able to get to it. But it's kind of old news already anyway. I mean, it happened almost a week ago.
Can I mention something really quick about the New York Post?
Sure.
So the day after he's dead... obviously, newspapers get printed before. That's why no one reads newspapers ever
again. This is one of the problems with it.
Yeah. So they were posting about a Bowie tribute band. Obviously, this was scheduled before he died. And the first line of the article, "It's a great day to be David Bowie."
Oops. Ooh. Ouch.
My favorite thing, people are posting on Facebook, not his, you know, greatest songs, you know, but they're posting Dancing in the Street with he and Mick Jagger, which was the worst song I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, I've seen The Labyrinth posted about a million times.
He's the Goblin King. That's where most people remember him from. Or as Ziggy Stardust. So, I mean, either way, it's very sad. Ziggy, we will miss you.
There was one more thing, because I watched wrestling.
Oh.
Is that Stardust actually did a tribute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, so anyway, rest in peace, Ziggs. We'll miss you, man.
After that sad news, I think you need to hear my joke.
Okay, great. This was teased at the top of the show, and I've been dreading it ever since. So right. Buckle up, folks.
Stretch it out. All right.
I'm so frightened right now.
My ears.
You ready?
No.
How dumb is this going to be on a scale of 1 to 10?
Amazing. So
great number. That's what I picked for the Powerball.
Good call.
What do you want for the Powerball?
Amazing. Can you actually get this joke out right now?
Yeah.
No, you can't. You can't get it out.
All right. A sheep, a drum, and a snake fall off a cliff. Ba-dum. Yeah, I get it. Ba-dum. Bottom. Snake drumming. Sheep and drumming a snake.
Who's the 5 year old?
You and your hat.
I love that he keeps saying the punchline as if it's gonna make it more funny, and it is.
He's laughing so hard, his face is red. This is fantastic.
But
Yeah, great. Yeah, have you been waiting a whole week for that one since the last episode?
I have.
Terrific. Yeah, he was kicking himself the next day, like, oh, I couldn't have this for the recording. Speaking of last week, though, in our first episode, just gotta thank everybody who listened. I mean, it's the response has been incredible. I mean, we've been getting nothing but amazing reviews on this show. You know, a lot of positive feedback we've heard from people. Our old buddy Cobbler actually weighed in. He said, good chemistry. So there you go. That's a credit to all of us. Crisco still can't talk. That's true.
Oh, man.
Some things will never change. As a matter of fact, you know, Free Beer from the Free Beer and Hot Wings show has that problem. So
yeah.
He and I have solidarity in that, I think. So yeah, always bet on Dope Tongue. And also he mentions that it is entertaining as always. So there you go. I mean, all the reviews have kind of been like that. I've talked to people, you know, my friends and family who listen to the show. Everybody thinks it's great. Coworkers have thought that it's awesome. Other people in radio have been telling us that it's great. So, I mean, thank you for the positive words, the positive feedback. Thank you again for listening. And, I mean, even the numbers, the download numbers were, I mean, we were kind of worried after the end of our last show that we weren't going to be able to duplicate maybe the same amount of, you know, hype or whatever right out of the gate. But not only did we have the same amount of hype, but surpassed it even, which blows my mind.
Yeah, almost doubled.
Almost, right? I mean, which is crazy to think about.
And I even got a compliment.
What? Yeah, you did. Yeah, we had Chuck weigh in, Konarski. From now on, he's going to be Konar the Barbarian. Right? That's what he's going to be. Yeah, he mentioned he loves Mickey. Yeah, you're the star of his show every time he listens.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Or was there another compliment besides that?
No, it was that one.
Oh, that one, yeah. Yeah, so like I said, I mean, it's been positive. So thank you for that, and keep the feedback coming. We love hearing from you guys. And like I said, the numbers have been great. And just wanted to take a second, you know, now that we're away from our first episode, and it was, you know, I think we can deem it a success at this point. Wanted to thank some of the people that helped make it possible. First of all, Mike Vincent.
Oh, the voiceover guy.
Yeah, those big booming pipes that you hear in our imaging and in our intro and outro. I mean, he was nice enough. This dude, I mean, he does commercials that have Brett Favre in them. Have you seen that? Like, he did Tough Blade and Copper Fit. And he's also, you might recognize him as, if you play Xbox, he's the voice of Microsoft Xbox support. When you call into Microsoft, you hear our voice guy on there.
Awesome.
The voice guy of a freak accident. That's incredible.
I just call Mike whenever I have an Xbox problem now. I don't even call Xbox. I'm like, Mike, what's wrong?
Does he make you hit, like, press one.
He does, yes.
Have you tried turning it off and then on again?
Are
you
sure? Mike, I didn't think about that.
Are you sure it's plugged in? But he was awesome to help us with our voice works. It's fantastic to have him. Also, got to thank Jim McCabe, too, who is still, you know, our other voice guy. You know, he's been our voice guy for a long time in some various projects that we've done, and he's decided to stay on. He's going to help us out in any way we need him. You can hear him singing his sweet tones, the prognostication song. That
why, don't
is
give,
him.
Why don't you give it a little bit of a taste?
You want me to give it to you? For new people.
It's time for Freak Accident Implausible Prognostication. It's time for a Freak Accident Implausible Prognostication.
You'll be able to find out what that is later in the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're thankful to have him on. Also, thanks to Kristen Rinaldi as well for designing that awesome logo that we have. That thing is cool. You know what I mean? It's eye-catching. You know what I mean? It's really nice. She drew that from scratch.
She did.
Yeah.
I want it on a sticker.
Yeah, well, we're going to get it on a sticker. Don't you worry. Mickey just wants to deface public property with stickers all over the place.
I do.
Why did that sound so threatening? We are going to get it on a sticker. Oh, you're going to get that sticker.
Yeah, you're going to get it. You're going to like it. Yeah. You're going to post it all over the place. But she, an awesome artist, very talented, and I mean, you can get her to draw something for you, too. We've got, by the way, links to these folks if you need them to do something for you at the links section of our website, so you can go check them out. So thanks to her for designing that logo. It is awesome, and it really, like, pops, especially on iTunes. Like, it pops out at you. It grabs you, you know?
Also, make sure to email her if you would like a classic nude of myself and Crisco. She will do it.
Yeah. That's what I gave my wife for Christmas this year.
Well,
oh, man.
The greatest.
Wait, when?
The greatest
for
gift
Christmas.
The greatest gift of all.
No, when did you get us in a classic nude pose?
For the website. You already did it. Remember? You were there. You were naked.
I don't remember. I don't remember that. I'm going to need to call the cops.
Also, got to mention Sticky FX as well for providing us some awesome sound effects for our imaging. Bluehost for the hosting, Cryout Creations for giving us the website template to use. I mean, just awesome. Awesome. Thank you, all of you people, for your help in getting us up, getting us started, getting us running. You know, we owe you everything, because without it, this would be really boring and wouldn't have many noises or, you know, bells and whistles on it.
Also, we have to thank Pavement Entertainment for our guest today.
Oh, yeah, our guest later on in the show, which is kind of a big one, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a rock music fan, you no doubt have heard of the Veer Union. They were huge a couple years back. They've kind of gone through a couple things, you know. There's a lot of, basically, it's a new band now. You know, a bunch of new guys in the band, but they're back and they're poised to really rock everybody's faces off. New song is amazing. The new single. They just transitioned. Yeah, right. That's it. You know, what have we done? You know what I mean? They're in the same position. You know what I mean? So, but we've got Crispin Earle, who's the lead singer of the Veer Union. He's going to be on the show a little bit later on as well in this episode. So,
can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be good, too. We've also got, as I mentioned before, a ton of things to talk about. The Powerball is on everybody's mind.
Of course it is.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
That's a real lot of money.
Not messing around with that total.
No, no. El Chapo, our old buddy, has been captured again. I almost said kidnapped. He wasn't kidnapped, but he was arrested and captured.
Ha ha, shoes on the other foot, El Chapo.
Didn't see that one coming, did you? Ricky Gervais once again stole the show at the Golden Globes. At this point, nobody else can host that show because you're just going to pale in comparison.
And if you missed any of the funny stuff, we've got it all for you that we'll be playing.
We will touch back on it. And also, football talk. It was a bad week for some of us.
I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing happened.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about it, but
it was a great weekend. Great. Fantastic.
Shut.
It was good stuff.
Stupid. Black and yellow mouth. And as we said, Lazy E, as punishment for his team losing to Ian's team, will be undergoing the hot sauce challenge later on in the show. We've got this nuclear hot sauce that we mentioned. It rates at a 321,900 Scoville units.
Thank God for Vontaze Perfect.
The pain's coming, buddy.
You know what? I've got this thing. Nah. And I just got to...
No. So stick around. That's coming up, like I said, in less than an hour. And it's all on the way in this episode of A Freak Accident.
Ba-dum. It's so good.
The early bird catches the worm. But the early worm gets ruthlessly devoured by a gigantic superior predator. Maybe we'll just sleep in today. This is a freak accident.
You thought it was worth playing.
Yeah, sing it.
So you played the Powerball.
Oh, yeah.
You lost all your money. You didn't win a thing at all.
So true.
Now they gonna turn your lights on. And you need a payday loan. So it won't be dark, your food won't spoil, and they gon' turn off your cell phone. He thought it was worth playing.
Oh, it's so true.
What a voice that guy has. I love it.
Yeah, you don't normally find that kind of stuff on YouTube.
Who's responsible for that?
It's on this channel, Fred Thomas TV.
Awesome. Well done, Fred Thomas TV.
Little disclaimer, didn't check the rest of his videos, so at your own discretion.
At your own risk.
Yes.
And that was excellent, though. Very good. Anyway, we are talking about the Powerball because it is a record-setting jackpot. Of course, at the time of this recording, the drawing is later tonight. There has been no winner yet, but there may be by the time you're listening to this. But the Powerball has gotten up to $1.5 billion.
And they said that if no one wins tonight, that it will be, I think, a billion tickets were sold.
See, here's the thing. A lot of the billboards around the country that, you know, advertise how many million it is are maxed out at 999 million because they weren't built to accommodate for a $1 billion jackpot. And it's already gone to 1.5, $1.5 billion.
930 million cash out.
That's the lump sum. See, that's ridiculous when the lump sum, even after taxes, is almost $1 billion.
Well, after taxes, it's like $630 million cash.
No, isn't the lump sum after taxes?
No.
They take money out and then they tax the money that the lump sum? That seems ridiculously unfair.
Well, how it works.
This country sucks.
How it works is, you know, you have the $1.5 billion. That's the estimated annuity because you can take the lump sum. That's what it is right now.
Right.
Or you can have Powerball invested throughout that 30 years and you could most likely end up with $1.5 billion.
That's still crazy, though. Even so. That's an absurd amount of money. Absurd.
I think it's absurd that they take away $1 billion. If you take the lump sum, they basically take away $1 billion. 1.5 and you only get 6?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are almost
taking.
Well,
but you get 1.5, but then there's taxes taken out of that. So you're getting 45, almost 50 million a year. You still have between 30 and 40% taken out from taxes, so it's still the same.
It's BS!
Yeah, no, take it up with your congressman.
Yeah, it's called Welcome to the 1%, my friend.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they get taxed really high up there.
Now I know the struggles of being in the 1%.
Hashtag the struggle is real, right? It's tough.
I don't really care. I get a check for $630 million. The pimp suit I wear the next day to work will be immaculate.
You're lucky if I'm wearing clothes.
Oh, my pimp suit will be, you know, rippable. I can just like, boom, gone.
He's going to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
I would, but
I would buy the company, and then I'd walk in just throwing money around going, I'm your boss!
Crisco would be one of those guys who's broke in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Although with $630 million, that'd be hard to do.
It would be hard to do. I mean,
I don't know.
Think of all of the lottery winners who have burned through their winnings, though.
44 to 45% of big-time lottery winners go broke in 5 years.
That's the statistic, and that doesn't account for what happens in the next 5 years either.
Those are the people that needed to call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Well, that was, I mean, you even look at some of the stories. The one guy had won 300-and-something million dollars, right? He lost it all to three things. Thieves. I guess people just straight up stole it from him.
Well, people were asking him for money all the time. He just gave it to him.
Drugs and gambling. He's now $1.5 million in debt.
Wow.
After winning a $300-something million jackpot.
There was another guy like that, and what happened is his daughter ended up feeding into it. She ended up becoming a drug addict and died. Then he became broke because greed took over his life. Everybody's like, hey, can I have a dollar here, you know, obviously more than a dollar. But his family pretty much would say they would disown him unless they gave him money. Now he's broke, has a dead daughter, and that's what he has from winning the lottery.
I would just tell my family to bite me and
what
get
about,
away.
What about that one guy whose wife killed him to try and steal all the money, and then she went to jail?
Where does that money go?
I don't know at that point. I mean, but...
back into the jackpot!
I remember reading a story about one lady who won the lottery twice and is now living in a trailer. It's insane.
I don't know how they do it.
How do you go through that amount of money? It seemed, you even said before, $600 million. It seems like it would be hard to go through that amount of money. Think about this. If you got actually, let's say... they said estimated 1 billion people buy tickets for this latest drawing. There's actually still a 3% chance nobody wins. So if it goes up to like $2 billion, and let's say like the lump sum at that point is more than $1 billion, you could spend a dollar a second for the rest of your life and you still wouldn't burn through all of it. That's how much money there is, yet somehow, some way, the winner will burn through all of that money.
You could take a third of that money, put it into savings, a basic savings that has a 10% interest on it, and you will live for the rest of your life off of interest.
Think about this. It's hard to find something with 10% interest. Usually, even if you find something with 1% interest.
And 1% interest at $600 million is
$6 million a year. Yeah, you'd make $6 million a year just on dividends. Could you live off $6 million a year, Ian?
I think I'd be all right.
I think
yeah.
I could probably squeeze that in, sure.
The question is, do they cap that at some point? Like, you can't put that much money in. We're not paying out that much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
The banks love them whenever you give them money to dish out.
Especially those Swiss banks. Because that's where you'd have to put it. Because just to say that I have a Swiss bank
account. Yes.
In my Swiss bank account.
Yeah. Everybody's got a price. Because yeah. I agree with Murderer. Because he posted the picture on my Facebook today. I would turn into the Million Dollar Man. I definitely would.
You'd have the belt and everything.
He said, I would hire Virgil to do something. I said, please do. That man needs work.
I was so happy when it went up to $1 billion. Because that brought back Austin Powers.
$1 billion! Yeah, we all have our pinkies up to our mouths.
Yeah, you can't
that
do
just
it
happened.
That.
No, you can't.
You know what's incredible, though? Even though nobody's won the jackpot, I mean, it's been, what, 19 drawings?
It's been since November 14th, I think it was.
November 7th.
November 7th.
19 drawings. No one's hit the jackpot yet because they did change the odds the game.
Well,
it's now a lot more difficult to win. That's why even though record numbers of tickets are being sold, nobody's winning because it's just with the way that now the number combinations work out, it's really, really hard to get it. You're talking a billion tickets might have sold in this latest
right?
one. And there is a 3% chance, again, at the time of this recording, the drawing isn't until tonight, 3% chance there won't be a winner. That's insane. Those odds are ridiculous.
Wow.
But the funny thing is, they always talk about the odds. Somebody always wins.
So it's got to be someone.
It always happens. And you've got the same chance as everybody else. We're going to get into some interesting statistics in a minute. But I wanted to point out, 19 drawings. I know statistics can add trouble coming out.
Statistics!
Yeah, something.
Me and Mickey just knew it right
Your
there.
Grammar sucks so much.
It does.
I was trying to be nice in case he did hit the Powerball. He would give me some.
19 drawings. No one's hit the jackpot, but... there have 67 people have become millionaires in the meantime.
Oh yeah, they got five numbers right.
Yeah, right. But prizes of both 1 million. I'm sorry, 59 winning tickets for $1 million and 8 for $2 million. Because a $1 million prize, you qualify for that if you match all five white balls without the Powerball. That would make you laugh, wouldn't it?
It would.
The prize doubles to $2 million if you use the Power Play. Which is an extra dollar on the ticket, but
yeah.
So anyway, 67 people in the meantime have become millionaires, even though nobody's hit the jackpot.
Those
so people
will be broke in a year.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, $1 million, that can't go very far unless you know how to invest properly.
And you know those people that win the, like, this huge amount of money, you know what they're like? I can buy a lot of Powerball tickets with this.
they just want to win more? Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah. I know what I would do with that kind of money. I finally figured it out. Go to Vegas and put it all on black.
Just let it ride.
Mark Cuban has actually offered advice to the eventual winner. And Mark Cuban would be the one to know.
You would think.
Being a billionaire himself.
He came from nothing to start his company and then made $1 billion. Now he owns the Dallas Mavericks.
I would hope a guy like him would know how to handle his money properly.
He does.
Maybe this advice for you, if you're listening and you're the winner, you might want to consider this. He says, first thing to do is hire a tax attorney right out of the gate.
Immediately.
Yeah. Well, they say that and hire financial advisors as well. Because even if you're good with your checkbook, oh, I could balance my checkbook. You're talking about quantities of money and integers and the number of zeros at the end of that number, you can't calculate that. For crying out loud, people couldn't even get the freaking meme right that was getting shared around. We had to counter it with our own because people thought that, what was it, 1.3 billion divided by 300 million was 4 million per person. You're stupid. It's $4, idiot. Use a calculator.
I saw that meme.
Or a slide rule. Or count on your toes. Anything.
This is why people go broke.
You're right.
I saw that meme the first time, the incorrect one. I was like, that can't be right.
No.
And I did the math, and it was wrong.
So what does Cuban say to fix these people?
All right, so he says, hire a tax attorney, obviously. Hire a financial team, obviously. He says, don't take the lump sum.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Screw you, Mark Cuban. I'm taking the lump sum.
Well, I would too, probably. But he says that basically prevents you from blowing it all at the same time.
If you suck at money, take the annuity.
It almost forces you to not be completely reckless because at least you've got a couple million coming the next year. He points out if you weren't happy yesterday, winning won't make you happy tomorrow. It's money, it's not happiness.
I will counter that argument immediately.
Hey, money buys a yacht, and a yacht would make me very happy.
Yeah, if my car breaks down on my way home tonight, I'm going to be very unhappy. If I hit the Powerball, I'm going to be really happy again.
Yeah, people say money doesn't buy happiness. Okay, maybe not total happiness, but it helps you get there.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part of the advice. Yeah. Is that if you're not happy, you're not going to be happy tomorrow. Well, even if you have $1.5 billion.
Totally false.
The funny thing is, though, a lot of people who have won, pretty much all, I think, I've heard like in interviews after the fact, they say, it's such an aggravation. They said, it makes my life miserable having all of this.
Well, sure it does, because they have their cousins coming out of the woodwork that don't even exist going, hey, can I have a buck?
There's probably more to it than, I mean, obviously you'd think, hey, 1.5 million, but there's definitely, you know the things balance out, yin and yang, right? And there's going to be bad with the good.
I will hire the guy from the,
hire Liam Neeson from Taken to take care of all of those people.
Oh, who's the African American guy who does the home security commercials where he says, "Don't even try it"?
Oh, wait, Serrano from Major League.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
No. He's gonna sit in my front yard when people try to come up to my house. Nope. He's gonna sit there going, "Don't even try it."
He was also the president on 24.
You have no balls.
You have no marbles.
Yeah, that's it. No marbles.
He points out, tell all of your friends and relatives no. Mark Cuban says.
Sure.
They'll ask, tell them no. If you're close to them, you already know who needs help and what they need. In other words, you'll already know about their financial problems before, you know, the Powerball thing. It's not like somebody's just coming up randomly like, oh, hey, I got these financial troubles. He says, feel free to help some, but talk to your accountant before you do anything. And remember this, no one needs $1 million for anything. No one needs $100,000 for anything. Anyone who asks is not your friend.
So if my mother asks it, I just slap her in the face. You're not getting any of it.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, though, you got to do it with a wad of like $1,000 bills. Just woman.
I take $1 million in front of her and I burn it. There's your money.
Finally, he says, you don't become a smart investor when you win the lottery. Don't make investments. You can put it in the bank and live comfortably forever. You'll sleep a lot better knowing you won't lose money. Basically, we're saying what we would do. You just put a bunch in the bank, collect the dividend, pay your capital gains tax every year, and just live comfortably for the rest of your days. Don't think you need to suddenly buy a football team and like, oh yeah, I'm going to manage this and turn this around. Yeah, I'm going to buy the Raiders and make them successful. Okay.
Hey.
No. No way. I'm going to be the Wolf of Wall Street. Forget that. I'm out there. I'm going to be yelling out there. Even though you don't do that on Wall Street anymore, I'll just be out there going, 10, 9, 8, 7, ah!
There are some interesting statistics, though, for what's more likely to happen to you than winning the Powerball.
Oh boy.
I've seen this. Yeah, this
now,
is good.
These are insane things, okay? You're 25 times more likely to become president of the United States than to win this jackpot. 25 times!
That's also a skew.
Well, maybe for us, not you.
Why? Why did you point at me?
The skewed stat with that is you need to actually be kind of smart to be the president, or at least start out being smart.
I would argue the last couple presidents prove that wrong. That you need to be smart to be president. And probably the next few
as
well.
To lead, not to lead.
Yeah, right. Winning would be like flipping a coin 28 times and getting heads every time in a row. 28 times, you get heads 28 times in a row flipping
what
a coin.
What if I was a magician?
I don't think that really matters
Hang
a
on.
Whole lot.
We're
she
challenge
actually,
this.
I gotta scratch my head because right. It's like that's.
All right, here we go.
Tails.
Damn.
There.
Right, I lost.
Point misproven. That you raise a good point though. I don't have an answer
heads.
To that.
Good.
Okay. Starts.
All right. You're four times more likely to be hit by an asteroid.
Probably multiple times, too.
I've always said if I was going to die, that's how I want to die. I want to get hit in the head by a meteor.
Is this while in space or down on the ground?
Who knows? Maybe they're assuming you become an astronaut first and you get smashed while you're on the space station.
If I won the money, I'd want to be hit by an asteroid while Aerosmith is playing. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah.
While Michael Bay is filming.
Yes. You're 10 times more likely to die in a fatal car accident on your way to buy Powerball tickets than you are to actually win the Powerball.
That seems very easy to happen when you're talking about odds.
Yeah.
It's a road. I mean,
and people suck at driving.
That's it. Yeah, high percentage of fatal car accidents. Last but not least, I thought this one was interesting. You are 508 times more likely to become a billionaire through some other means. In other words, starting your own business, becoming a Mark Cuban type character, you're 508 times more likely to become a billionaire through something like that than you are by winning the Powerball.
Starting a podcast.
Yeah!
Those odds are a little skewed.
Love us, hate us. You can still like us on Facebook.
Gee whiz. That sounds like so much fun.
Facebook.com/A Freak Accident Podcast.
Oh no, not again.
He is the Beethoven of our era, Gucci Mane.
This is the dumbest song I've ever heard. It continues to be dumb. It's dumber on a... We've discussed this before in a broadcasting medium, let's just say. And this, yeah, that anybody would make a song like that, go away.
He's Gucci Mane. Word, life.
He no. didn't come up with that.
Just no.
Yeah, sucker. Gucci Mane.
If I win that Powerball, Gucci Mane is going away forever. Imply from that what you will. Anyway, El Chapo, our buddy, has been captured again. This is his third time, I think, getting arrested because he's escaped twice before. He's been incarcerated and escaped twice because you got to remember, think about this. We're talking about money, right? This dude's worth almost $1 trillion net worth. Almost a trillion. There are no trillionaires in the world.
But he's close.
He's close. He's probably closer than anybody else.
Do you think he told someone to buy him a Powerball ticket?
just to be... Can you imagine if he won?
Oh,
that'd be
so
the
mad.
Ultimate injustice.
Oh.
I'm starting to think this is just a game for him. He's like, go ahead, put me in jail. I'll escape. You catch me.
I think it might be. I mean, especially after that last one, you know, that we talked about on our former show, which was it cost something like $50 million to break him out. It was this whole elaborate scheme, and he did it like it was nothing.
It's like the plot of Megamind with Will Ferrell. The exact same plot.
I mean, basically, you know, yeah. it's ridiculous. You know, it gets more ridiculous each time.
This time, that is exactly what happened this time. It got to a ridiculous level on how he got caught.
Well, he was going around trying to contact people because he wanted to make an autobiography in a movie about his life. He wanted to make a movie about himself. And it ended up being that he somehow got into contact with Sean Penn.
Sean Penn wanted to talk to him. It was a secret interview.
Yeah, about what, though?
To he caught
How
him
in, can I be like you?
They won't say it was to catch him, but...
You think it might have been to catch
Spies
him?
Spies like us. There we go. Spies Like Us too. Here we go, starring Sean Penn.
Do you think this is like a successful, like, you know how Dennis Rodman is unsuccessful with North Korea?
Yeah.
This was the same idea, just actually pulled off.
This is the exact plot of The Interview.
Yeah, basically. That's what I'm saying.
That this is what happened.
Except Sean Penn apparently isn't a complete idiot because he was actually able to help catch him somehow.
And there are no cute puppies involved.
You're right. You are right.
The meeting was arranged by Mexican actress Kate Del Castillo.
Kate Del Castillo.
Why doesn't somebody talk to her? She knew where El Chapo was and didn't tell anybody.
Well, she, like, I think it was she befriended him on Twitter. Like, she was, she kept on, like, praising him and stuff like that.
Hey, El Chapo, like, follow me on Twitter. Hashtag thanks.
Yeah, she likes his fan page.
His verified page.
Yeah, he's definitely verified, yeah.
Yeah, she started his fan group.
Yeah.
El Chappies.
El Chappies?
El Chappies.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just think so Mexico caught him, mission accomplished and all that. You know he's going to escape. It's bound to happen. The question is just when.
You're right, he will.
And in the meantime, what is Chicago?
What is
Colorado going to do without their marijuana, Mickey?
Shut up.
That's a long story.
Is there any conspiracy theories around this one besides
No, the theory is still there from the original theory.
Why don't you just quick, in short form, share what that theory is to all the new listeners.
Because taxes.
That's why he did it, because of
wait,
because
hold
of
on,
taxes.
So, wait, what?
No, you're new to all this, and I don't feel like wasting the time explaining it, because it just doesn't make sense anyway.
He sold drugs to Chicago and
Colorado.
Colorado.
See, I ruined that.
Thank you.
See, that was a plant by me before to get him to screw up, and it paid off.
But it was taxes, tax dollars. That's why they caught him, or they're going after him. Question, though.
Are you one of those people?
I'm a woman, yes.
She made the joke, not me.
That's Mickey at freakaccident.com.
Did they
extradite him to America? I've heard.
I'm not a demic.
Sorry. I heard that come up.
Talking about it. They're talking about bringing him here, I guess hoping that he'll be better imprisoned in America.
Well, they've tried it too many times there.
America's full of his biggest fans. Gucci Mane will break him out. He wrote a song about
it. Oh, yeah. Play it again.
No.
He's an artiste.
If I have my way, that song will never grace my ears again. I'm sad that it had to twice now in my life already.
I'll find my way to that soundboard.
Don't you dare touch it. So, I'm saying he's going to be broken out by Memorial Day.
I'm saying he's going to be broken out by the time this thing airs.
that's a very high possibility.
I'm saying he's broken out now.
Up next on A Freak Accident, we are talking to the lead singer from The Veer Union, Crispin Earle, right here. So stay plugged in.
A Freak Accident. As entertaining as a car crash. That may seem morbid, but hey, people love car crashes. Why do you really think NASCAR is so popular?
Big moment, new show, and our very first interview on this podcast here.
I know, it's the first for this show. I mean, Ian, are you ready for this?
I mean, I don't have anything quirky to say, so yes.
I hope he knows he needs to be a spectacular guest, because this is our very first foray into this.
You're talking about me? Or
No, we don't expect that from you and Mickey, God.
Yeah, not happening.
I was like, you're expecting way too much out of me.
Yeah, no, we're beyond that point, Ian. Don't worry about
that. Thank
you. But anyway, we've got a guest from a band that I've been a fan of for a long, long time, been following these guys for a while. That's why I'm very excited to be able to talk to him, and we've got him on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from the Veer Union, we have Crispin Earle. Crispin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Now, you're a busy man these days, I think. You got a lot going on. New album coming out. I know right now you're on the road to a rehearsal. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. So how have things been with the Veer Union, with everything that's been going on? Because a lot of news has been dropping lately.
Things have been insanely busy. We've been getting great feedback about the new single and as well as the record. And so we've just been like in rehearsals, getting ready for this tour that's coming up, because we're starting a tour February 18th in San Diego. All the dates at beerunion.com. You can check it out. But just really excited to get back out on the road and start playing some new music now. But we're really excited.
So you've got basically a whole new band behind you now, right? Like, these guys are all brand new to the Veer Union.
They are new to the Veer Union, not necessarily new to me. I mean, most of the guys that have been in the band have been in the band for the last years. I mean, we've been, working together. I've been very particular about who I'm bringing on to my camp since the departure of the other guys. You know, there's no hard feelings there or anything like that. Really, I wanted to continue on with the Veer Union. It's always been kind of my baby. I mean, I really started the band myself and had already written the first two records before anybody was ever in the band. So it was really, it's always kind of been my baby. So I'm just really excited to be playing with a bunch of guys that I'm playing right now, and everybody's there to continue to play rock, and that's what it's all about, man.
But that still has to be scary to think, like, you took that hiatus off, and then you're making a new album with a whole new band, even though you've been friends with them. Did that give you some worry that this could go nowhere?
No, I mean, if you go into a situation worrying about, well, this could go nowhere, then, you know, there's no point on really starting a project. You know, in life, they don't come for free. You know, it's all about sacrifice, and I've never been scared of sacrificing, you know what I mean? It's like, this is all I've ever wanted to do, and I just really wanted to work with people that were on the same page that wanted to do as much as I did.
All right, Crispin, just hang on a second. Crisco, write that down. That's what we got to remember for this podcast.
Yeah, good point. All right, so we've got the new album. It's called Decade. It's due out on the 29th of this month. The single is Defying Gravity. Now, we actually heard the single. It is fantastic. We know that we've got two songs on this album are from early demos you wrote back in 2001 that were actually featured on Tommy Lee's solo album, Tommyland. We've got three other songs from back during that time period, around 2001, about 10 years ago, and five songs are brand new. So do you think it's a benefit for the album that you're drawing from all these different time periods in terms of your writing?
Yeah, I mean, number one, first and foremost, thank you so much for the compliments on the new single. For me, I think it was important because I wanted to go back to the absolute nucleus of when I started this band, and that was when I was sitting in my studio room before it was a band. Most of these songs, including Seasons, which was, you know, the first kind of hit that the Veer Union ever had, that was written at the same time as these five songs that are on this record. And I wanted to go back to that point in time because I kind of shelved that record. And then it came out and I wrote a whole record. But the record kind of got shelved. Seasons was the only song that kind of moved into the new Veer Union. So I wanted to kind of go back into the nucleus of when I started this band. And at the same time, I wanted a fresh start. So there's a big time period in between all of that. And I wanted to kind of bridge it all together. And the band's first record that was ever released was independently released in 2006. And here it is, this record coming out in 2016, which spans exactly a decade, and it just seems fitting.
You had early mainstream success with that album you mentioned, Against the Grain, with Universal Motown. And now you're with Pavement Records. It's sort of like an independent, you know, you're back kind of on a smaller, more tight-knit record deal. Are you trying to capture the same magic? Is that like why you went back to some of your earlier stuff?
I don't think that I was, trying to necessarily capture the same magic. I think it was kind of like, let's put it this way. How many times in our lives when we go back and go, if I only knew what I knew now back then, this actually kind of gave me that chance to do that, you know, because I'm a producer myself, and, you know, and I have been producing the records for the Veer Union. I wanted to go back with the skills that I have as far as production now, and I wanted to kind of make those songs fresh for myself. It was more of a challenge for me, you know, to go, can I take a song that I wrote really, you know, 15 years ago and make it relevant for me today? Because it's always got to be, does this feel right to me? If it does, I just hope that other people like it too. But, you know, first and foremost, I'm not going to be the artist that's out there just trying to write a song so that other people will like it. That's what the art's about. I hope that people will be able to connect with it the same way I do.
You know, I got to actually listen to this full album, and it's unbelievable that you could take those tracks with the new tracks and not make it seem like that, like a garbled mess of, okay, it's a greatest hits and here's five other songs and what are we doing? Yeah, it's a fantastic album. It really is.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So with all the new production skills that you have, and you're obviously a very talented songwriter. I mean, I've seen that, you know, I have been following the Veer Union for a while now. And now you've got a whole new group of guys. You got your new label with Pavement. Do you think the band's in a good position right now for success?
I mean, I hope so. I would definitely say that things are definitely looking up. We were so lucky enough to have a Canadian label called Rock Shop Entertainment, and they've actually helped us out a lot along the way as well. So we're kind of working in conjunction with Rock Shop Entertainment, Pavement Entertainment, as well as we work with management. So we have a really great team. So I would definitely say, you know, if there was ever a time that things are looking, you know, great in comparison to when we were on Universal Records, I would definitely say that would be now.
I'm going
to
say this, though. If it doesn't work out, I don't know if you've ever thought of this. Your name, Crispin, that's a badass name. You can make, like, a cologne. It could be like, do you want to smell great? Get Crispin. Crispin. Telling you, man, marketing genius right here.
All I know is last time you guys had an album come out, the Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup. Can you guarantee that for me again? That was pretty awesome.
I'll look into it.
Okay, yeah.
You're talking to a Canadian about hockey. If anybody could pull it off, I think it'd be him, right?
One can only hope.
So, Crispin, you mentioned that you guys are going out on tour starting in February. What are the plans for that tour? Is it going to be nationwide? Basically, what I'm asking is, are we going to get the chance to see you out here on the East Coast?
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to be all over the place. You know, I know that there's a couple of tours that are kind of pending right now. The first tour that we're going out starts on the West Coast and kind of works into the Midwest, and then I believe that we're going to be heading out to the first tour is going to be with Bobaflex, a band called Artifice, and then Bridges to Grace. So they're going to be supporting us, those three bands, and then we're heading out, I believe, with Saving Abel and Smile Empty Soul. I think, and we will probably be closer to the East Coast, I think, over April and May.
Nice.
So lots of touring coming.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I mean, those are some big acts there too that you're going to be intermingling with. So those will be some good shows.
Absolutely. No, we're really excited. I mean, it's all about getting out there and having people connect with the music live. I just, you know, it's been a while since we've been on the road, and we're just really excited to get back out there.
I know it's premature because the new album hasn't even come out yet, but are you already thinking forward to maybe what the next album's going to be like?
Yes, actually. I've actually already been working on the next album.
Right on, yeah.
It's going to be pretty awesome. That's all I can tell you.
Right on.
Oh, it's all secretive.
Yeah.
There's Crispin. Crispin with his secrets.
Well, anyway, the new single is Defying Gravity. Make sure you request it on local radio. And the album is Decade, January 29th, 2016. It's the Veer Union. Crispin Earle, lead singer. Thank you so much for joining A Freak Accident today, man.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
We hope to see you out on the road.
Absolutely. We'll have a beer.
Follow A Freak Accident on Twitter at A Freak Accident. Crap. I forgot to say Simon Says.
Live from the star-filled International Ballroom of the Beverly Hilton Hotel. Welcome to the 73rd Annual Golden Globe Awards.
Guys, we made it!
Yes!
We're in the Golden Globes!
Oh, thank God. Mickey, you look very depressed about the whole thing. Why that face?
Do people still watch the Golden Globes, by the way?
No, not at all.
Well, maybe I'm thinking they might just for Ricky Gervais. I'm wondering if that's why they keep re-signing him, despite the fact that everyone there hates when he's on stage because he's so brutally honest and insulting. They keep bringing him back because maybe it garners viewers.
I didn't understand why they brought him back because I don't understand why they hated him in the first place. I'm a little lost on this whole thing.
Well, let's put it this way. The Hollywood elites are very snobby. Stuck on themselves, high on themselves. So, and it's also no secret that they have a lot of problems. So when you have somebody up there who's basically mocking you to your face on a night where it's supposed to be about your glorification, a bunch of them got butthurt, and now this is where we're at. They got mad because he was insulting them.
And why did they bring him back?
Because we're talking about it right now.
And that's true. Yep. Yeah. Would we be talking about the Golden Globes otherwise?
Nope.
No. Probably not.
They're the minor league version of the Oscars.
But I did watch, and just for him, I mean, I'll admit, like, it draws me in because he's hysterical and he's brutal and it's funny.
Yeah. He's better at that, I think, than acting.
Yeah,
I don't like him acting that much.
No, he's one of those stand-up comedians who should just stay doing stand-up.
So you agree with me with that, yeah.
But I mean, he took shots at everybody pretty much. What we were just talking about a little while ago with Sean Penn and El Chapo.
I want to do this monologue and then go into hiding, okay? Not even Sean Penn will find me. Snitch.
There it is.
That was the best part of that whole joke. Snitch. Oh.
Yeah, though I love how he takes it. Like, he even said in the beginning how the Hollywood press said that if he says something, they're going to take him off the stage. He just kind of smirked.
Yeah.
He smirked about the whole thing.
It didn't matter. He went all out with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was making fun of the fact that a lot of movies are, like, rebooting, but with females in the lead and all females. Like, he talked about that.
All female remakes are the big thing. There's a female remake of Ghostbusters. There's going to be a female remake of Ocean's 11. And this is brilliant for the studios because they get guaranteed box office results and they don't have to spend too much money on the cast.
Oh!
So...
Oh. Get it? Because wage gap, guys.
Really? They're making an Ocean's 11 remake with all female?
I wish they weren't.
That's actually happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, feminism.
Oh, my. This can't... Oh,
Mickey's your biggest fan.
Yeah, Mickey@afreakaccident.com.
He went on to talk about... Now, a lot of people were upset about this one, but he talked about Caitlyn Jenner.
Now, Caitlyn Jenner, of course. What a year she's had. Destroying stereotypes. She didn't do a lot for women drivers.
Beautiful.
Genius. If you don't know what that's about, just look it up.
A lot of people were calling him transphobic because of that. And I mean,
no.
of course, he shot back saying, "You're being ridiculous." He said, "It's like my joke about Bill Cosby makes me racist." Then, right?
Yeah,
it's dumb. You know,
he was talking because. Did he kill that person that he got into?
Yeah,
the accident?
Yeah. Someone died.
That's what he's making a joke about. Yeah. Not him changing himself.
Or herself.
Or her, or whatever. I don't know what's happening.
I liked what he said about The Martian, because for some reason, The Martian was put in the comedy category.
The Hollywood Foreign Press deemed The Martian a comedy and even nominated it. To be fair, The Martian was a lot funnier than Pixels. But then again, so was Schindler's List. It's just a film.
Just the film.
About a real thing that happened, though. Yeah. Ricky.
Is that the one with Matt Damon in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good, actually. Really good.
Yeah, I think it came out already. I got to get a chance to go see it.
This was interesting. He was talking about that one movie about the Catholic Church.
The excellent Spotlight has been nominated. The Catholic Church are furious about the film as it exposes the fact that 5% of all their priests have repeatedly molested children and been allowed to continue to work without punishment. Roman Polanski called it the best date movie ever.
He really went dark on these jokes, and I enjoy that.
Well, that's what he does. His humor is very dark and dry. It's very British. It's very, very British in its, you know, structure and its execution.
And I don't know if he influenced this, but most of the Golden Globes were bleeped out.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. It like, was, the speeches and everything.
Yeah, especially, we'll get to that in a minute. I liked what he said with Amy Schumer and Jennifer Lawrence when he was introducing them.
Simple but perfect.
For their two movies. I mean, it's something everybody, especially now.
Joy and Trainwreck. No, not the names of Charlie Sheen's two favorite hookers. The films of our next two presenters.
I mean, I thought that was pretty clever too.
And it wasn't mean. It was just a quick little shot.
Talking about the bleeping out thing though, when Mel Gibson was on stage, he had to introduce Mel Gibson, which is like after he was brutal to Mel Gibson in years past. It was really ironic that the two of them had to share the stage.
And the last time he did it, he made fun of the fact that he was drunk and didn't know what he was saying. And well.
A few years ago on this show, I made a joke about Mel Gibson getting a bit drunk and saying a few unsavory things. We've all done it. I wasn't judging him, but now I find myself in the awkward position of having to introduce him again. Listen, I'm sure it's embarrassing for both of us, okay? And I blame NBC for this terrible situation. Mel blames, we know who Mel blames. Listen, I still feel a bit bad for it, right? Mel's forgotten all about it, apparently. That's what drinking does. No, I want to say something nice about Mel before he comes out. Oh yeah, okay, here you go. I'd rather have a drink with him in his hotel room tonight than with Bill Cosby.
If you're Mel Gibson, though, you have to be able to laugh at that.
Well, the funny thing is, he came out and he cracked his own joke. Yeah. Gibson said, I love seeing Ricky every 3 years because it reminds me to get a colonoscopy. But then Ricky came back out, and that was one of the things where he got bleeped. Nobody knew what he said. He asked him, what the F does sugar tits really mean? Because that was something, that was what Mel Gibson called that cop that arrested him that one time. Yeah. So it was a funny show. It was really, really amusing.
They're going to keep bringing him back.
They signed him on for next year.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Best host ever, Steve Harvey, Ricky Gervais.
Both.
Can we get both of them on the show?
Oh, that would be great.
And none of the winners actually get the Golden Globes.
And they're all insulted.
And everyone gets insulted. It's the perfect storm.
Oscars this year. Here we go.
A freak accident. It's the best mistake ever made.
Ba 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 da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Mickey's just like transfixed on my hair as it flops around.
I know, it's like Donald Trump's wig.
Kinda, sorta, yeah, it's there. Anyway, football, it was a bad week for Lazy E and I. Mickey was. Didn't care. And yep. Ian had a great weekend. Shut up. First of all, I think we should start with the punishment. Don't you agree?
Well, in case you didn't know, you're a new listener. I'm a Bengals fan. Talk about the worst loss in history.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You and I talked earlier this week about how the Steelers didn't win it. The Bengals lost it. And I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Well, but Ian is a Steelers fan. So that's E versus Ian. And now, as punishment, because there's always some kind of punishment involved with, whenever there's a game between comrades on the show, the loser has to do some kind of stunt. And so we've gone back to the hot sauce challenge because it's an oldie but a goodie. We've got the Da Bomb Ground Zero hot sauce. Never forget. We have this rated at 321,900 Scoville units, which, by the way, is on the higher end of the scale, rating above a habanero pepper and right in line with a red Savina habanero.
You learned so much on this podcast.
I know. Yeah. I mean, you're talking, let's put it this way. A banana pepper, right, is 100 to 900 Scoville units. A jalapeno pepper, right, Mickey? A jalapeno pepper only rates from 3,500 to 10,000. This is 300-something thousand. So E is in for much pain.
And it will be on our Instagram and Facebook, you think, about 5, 7 o'clock?
Somewhere in there. Follow us on Instagram, at A Freak Accident, and you'll be able to see the greatness.
I would like to thank Vontez Perfect and Adam Pac-Man Jones for this moment that's about to happen
and
right
Jeremy
now.
Jeremy Hill.
So here he goes. He's got it on his finger.
And Joey Porter.
That's all you can handle.
All right, go ahead.
Here we go. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
We really should be videotaping this.
We are. You idiot. That's what we just said.
Yes.
Oh, look how red his face is.
The fact that this was so close to me is amazing.
You could, you know.
I think I have some backwash of coffee.
Just give me anything. Oh, my God. It feels like death in my mouth. I now know what One Direction tastes like. Hot and terrible.
That was so multi-layered. I love it. Can we fill you with peppers more often if it gets you to be this funny?
I think he's going to die.
How's that feeling, Val?
Oh, the eyes are watering.
You're lucky this is the last segment, because with a mega colon like I have, oh, this is going to be dangerous.
The world may end. Brace yourselves, folks. So yeah, it was a bad week for E. What a terrible way to end the playoffs.
Jeremy Hill fumbled it. We won it with like a minute 35.
Yeah, and then a fumble and two penalties, two 15-yard penalties apiece.
Mind you, when we got that interception.
I could smell the fumes. It's causing me to cough.
When we got that interception, me and my friends that are also Bengals fans were celebrating a win. I never went from that joyous to that depressed in that short of a time. It was like 30 seconds, and I felt like hell.
I can only say I have gone from that depressed to that happy only one other time, and that was when the Steelers were playing the Colts in the playoffs about 10 years ago. And Bettis fumbles. Vaynerjack lines up for the kick and misses it. That was the only time I've been from just depressed to super happy.
Terrible.
I had a bad day, too.
Oh, yeah, you're a Vikings fan.
Yeah, I am a Vikings fan, and lost to the Seahawks 10-9 at home in the first round of the wild card. And it came down to a kick. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, there was a lot of problems that led up to it. You could Adrian Peterson's fumble. You could say he didn't get the first down on that last that
the
last
laces
run.
Were in.
He should have. Listen, I don't care about that. Because, Peterson could have got that first down on the last run.
Apparently, you've never seen Ace Ventura.
I've seen it.
Hashtag Ray Finn.
I'm getting to a point here, man. Cobbler actually pointed out, he said, the team, for instance, Blair Walsh, which is what Ian is referring to and what is aggravating me to no end.
Einhorn is Finkel.
He mentioned that Blair Walsh did score the 9 points that we had in the game on his own, try scoring a touchdown. And I get it. We could have played better. We could have maybe scored a touchdown. But it was a defensive struggle all day. And you know what? Sometimes games just don't go that way. This was one of them.
I'm in Psychoville and Finkel's the mayor.
It was just one of those games. Okay.
Yeah.
But the thing is, a game is won or lost one play at a time. Right? It's a game of inches. And when it comes down to it, everybody needs to do their jobs, including the kicker. That's why when you have a 27-yard field goal that will win the game, you put it through the uprights like it's no big deal, okay? Laces in, laces out. I don't even know which one's which. I've heard it referred to as both ways.
Laces out.
It's laces out.
No, it's supposed to be laces out, but it was laces in.
Yes.
But that doesn't matter because it's 27 yards. As a matter of fact, I was making the point after the game that even I could have made that kick. Laces in, laces out didn't matter. And other people have agreed with me. Matter of fact, you can see a video right now at afreakaccident.com that I posted in a blog that I wrote up of a guy, he's a mechanic, fat, out of shape, wearing jeans and work boots, laces in, and he puts it right through the uprights from 27 yards out.
Was it 0 degrees, though, when he was kicking the ball?
It doesn't matter. Blair Walsh is a professional football player.
To be fair, it was around that was in Minnesota that he did it.
Yes.
So it was around.
Laces are in.
You're a failure, Blair! Should quit the game,
laces
Blair!
Laces are in. It's 0 degrees. That's not it. It's and the Blair. Pressure's on. It's not an easy kick.
Blair, quit, okay? Open a restaurant. You can
he
call
scored
it Shanks!
Points!
You can call the restaurant Shanks.
In happier news, except for people in St. Louis, welcome back to L.A. Rams.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, L.A.'s going to have not one, but possibly two teams.
Yeah, the first shot will go to the Chargers, and if they deny it, it could go to the Oakland Raiders.
I honestly think it's just going to be one team.
Yeah.
And the owner for the Rams is just going to make it impossible for them to share that stadium.
I think it's hysterical that L.A. went from having zero professional football teams to now two, potentially.
Potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, when we lost that game, though, I wanted to point out, I wasn't even mad. Like, I think I've gotten madder as the days have gone on and I've been able to stew in it and reflect on it.
Mainly because I've been poking the bear every single day.
Yeah, but it wasn't even when it happened. I just watched it and I kind of was just like,
that's it.
It's just like, you know what? This is the Minnesota Vikings. This is what they do. I even thought before the kick, he's going to miss this.
Who was the jerk that caught the ball between his legs this weekend?
Martavis Bryant?
Yeah. Screw you!
That was amazing!
Why? We were done with it. I took hot sauce.
To be honest, though, the Bengals might have still ended the Steelers' season because Antonio Brown might not play on Sunday. Yeah. Or Ben Roethlisberger might not play, or he's not going to be 100%.
Antonio Brown better not play or else he flopped.
No, he did not flop.
No other player comes back from concussion in a week.
There is no way that Antonio Brown flopped.
If did you back, watch that play? Antonio Brown's neck did things that no human should ever do.
You know, Conor the Barbarian actually weighed in on something, too, with regard to the Bengals and Steelers game. He said, I watched a football game on Saturday night that had a WWE moment. Bengals, D'Amato Pico?
D'Amato Pecco.
D'Amato Pecco. All 6 foot 3 inches, 325 pounds, with a lumberjack beard and long curly hair down to his butt, runs out onto the field from the sidelines wearing a cape that looks like it may have belonged to the Undertaker, and pushes a Steelers player in the back.
And then runs off the field!
And does it right in front of the referee. What was he thinking? Did he think no one would see him? I never laughed so friggin' hard. Then he takes off the cape on the field to make sure the referee knows it was him. What was that about? Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, man. I've said before, nobody hates each other like the Bengals and the Steelers. There were so many fights that broke out in that game.
They were stupid, too. It was just ridiculous.
Listen, a lot of people are hammering the Bengals for being thugs and punks, but I mean, there
Everyone
were some
was guilty.
Yeah, no, there were bad Steeler, bad plays and stuff on the Steelers side.
Steelers
too.
Coaches
pulled
our guy's hair.
Yeah.
I can somewhat defend Joey Porter because Gilberry went and pushed him and then Adam Jones took a swing at him.
You need to understand.
Not Scranton's own Mike Munchak, though.
Well, no, he pulled a guy's hair. Yeah.
You need to understand, Mickey. There are rivalries in football.
Oh, yes, I've got this.
These two hate each other, though, to the point of actually trying to inflict physical harm upon one another when they cross paths.
But they didn't hate each other this much until this year. Until Le'Veon Bell got hurt, to be completely honest.
You're right.
And the crowd was borderline violent, too. Oh,
Where was Sam Weiss at to come out and say, "You're not Cleveland, stop throwing things"?
That was the last time they threw bottles on the field.
I know.
Since that moment. That shows you how intense that they actually went back to it. And they peed on people, too.
There were Steeler fans that were guilty, too. I mean, I'm not defending my own fan base. There were also Steeler fans that did stupid stuff at the stadium.
Fan from Allentown allegedly punched a
woman.
Yeah.
I heard about that one.
See, Mickey would hold it down, though. She's got, like, you know, the quick head motions and the footwork. You know, you can
Mickey
block.
Would win.
She'd block and counter.
Scrappy.
I don't think I'd ever or have ever been in a fight, and I refuse to be in one.
Go for the flying headbutt. It's the best move ever.
You want to prognosticate?
I guess we could. What did you have to say?
That's
all
right. No, fine, whatever.
Yeah, good. We're skipping it. I don't want to hear any more from you, Mr. Happy Pants.
It's time for Freak Accident Implausible Prognostication. It's time for Freak Accident Implausible Prognostication.
All right, who's first?
All right.
By the way, these are bold predictions for next week.
I'm not going to be sour grapes with the loss or anything.
Oh, don't you be sour. I'm
just going to say this. In the Denver Pittsburgh game.
That is who's playing.
Yeah, something's going to happen. You see, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened since Daryl LaMonica, that's his name. Steve Young also did it, and Tom Brady did it. It's called the most touchdowns in a single playoff game. That's 6. Peyton Manning will throw 8. Prognostication.
Brutal. All right, I'm saying the Chiefs beat the Texans last week 30-0 in the wild card round. This week, the Chiefs will beat the Patriots 30-0.
Oh, yeah.
Prognostication.
My prognostication is that Ben Roethlisberger will not start against the Denver Broncos, but Landry Jones will get hurt, and Big Ben will come out and win the game again.
Flop.
Prognostication.
You're just angry.
Mickey.
We'll hear the announcement of the charging Rams for L.A.
What?
Are you saying that two teams are going to become one in Los Angeles?
I like it.
It's weird enough to be good.
And that was a freak accident and plausible prognostication.
All right, Mickey, as we end the show today, do once again have to thank Crispin Earl from the Veer Union for coming on the show.
New CD comes out January 29th.
It is called Decade. You'll be able to download it or buy it in stores. You can find more information about that band online at their website, TheVeerUnion.com. That's the V-E-E-R Union.com. Also on Twitter at The Veer Union and Facebook.com/TheVeerUnion. So look them up. Looking forward to that album. And thanks again, Crispin, for being on the show. Next week, we're going to be back with another brand new episode of Mickey. In the meantime, what do the listeners got to do to keep up with us?
They got to go to afreakaccident.com, You can email us at freaks@afreakaccident.com. You can find us on the Connect tab at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where you can see my cool hat. Where else are we going?
I mean, we're, you know, find us on iTunes. Subscribe.
And after all the punishing I went through, you could also see the hot sauce video.
That's true. On our Instagram. And again, those are at the Connect tab. Click on Connect on the menu bar. And again, iTunes. Subscribe. Rate. Review. Give us a good review. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back again next week with another brand new episode. Thank you so much for being here and taking out the time to make this mistake. For A Freak Accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey. And we're reminding you...
some things are guaranteed.
Until there's a freak accident.
I can still smell that hot sauce.
But,
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.